tithe and offering. Who needs an envelope? Did you know that you're called to a better place? That God calls his people out to take them in. Exodus 3, verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. I will take you out to take you in. He said he's taking them out to take us in. God takes us out to take us in. He has a better place. He has a better place for us. He sees where we're at and he says, you know what? I've got better for you. You're enslaved. You're overwhelmed. You are not in control. You have wicked taskmasters who are forcing things upon you which are hard for anyone to bear. I will bring you up out of affliction of Egypt. God brings us up out of affliction. Affliction of this world. The affliction of the enemy. The constant lies and the deceits and the deceptions that the devil continually lies to us with. He wants to take us out, to take us in, to a land flowing with milk and honey. But you notice that he said it's the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. They had to fight to obtain the promise that God had given them. But God didn't call them to fight alone. He said, I will go with you. I will be your strength. I will. I will fight this battle. I will go with you. I will cause you to come in. I will cause you to overcome your enemies. It's never you better go do it. It's a, come on. We got this thing. We're in it together. God takes us out to take us in. They didn't enter into the promise because they didn't mix it with faith and trust God. God's calling you out to call you into something better. And he set you upon a path. Father, I just ask that you would speak to people right now of whether or not they're in the right financial place. And that you would confirm in their hearts, even in this moment, that they would know that whether they're in the right place that you've called them to be financially or not. Those of you that have a check in your heart that you feel like you're not in the right place, I want to tell you, God's going to take you out to take you in. He's going to take you out to take you into someplace better. He's got a better plan. He's got a better objective. He's got a land flowing with milk and honey. But it's not always going to be easy getting there, but you're not alone. You're not alone. God wants to take us to a better place. He's always wanted to take us to a better place so that we can prosper and be blessed and grow and be a blessing to others. He doesn't want us to prosper us just for our own sake. He wants to prosper us so that we're a blessing to others. And he delights in doing that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have better things for us, that you're leading us and guiding us on a path that has better ahead. And we thank you for that, Lord. We, Lord, we want to walk in faith with you in where you're wanting to take us. Help us to not lose sight. Help us to not be overcome, but to trust you in the wandering and in the way. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Where are you going? Where are you going? What's your destination? Where are you headed? What is the goal? Where are you going? You know, ever since we were little, you know, we're asked this question a lot in life, ever since we're little, you know. What are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up? And what do you want to be? Where are you going? You know, we ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a superhero. And we chuckle and we think it's cute. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a burglar. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't know. You think it's fun. And he's like, oh yeah, that's cute. That's cute. And then you grow up and you get in your high school years. So, what degree are you going to get? What job are you going to have? What career are you going to get? How do I know? Yeah, I always loved that question. I'm like, well, you got to pick something. You got to figure out where are you going? What are you doing? What's your purpose? You know, and even as you get older, well, what are you going to do with your life? You know, you start in a job and you start complaining about that job. Well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? You're going to get a new career? You're going to get a new job? Where are you going? It's a constant question throughout life. We are always asked, where are you going? And very few of us can actually answer that question. Where are we going? I still often wonder where I'm going. Sometimes I just go in a circle. Just going in a circle. Sometimes I got 1 foot planted and I just, you know, you just kind of go around the foot. You know, it feels like you're stuck. You're not going anywhere. What's going on? It can be frustrating being constantly asked, where are you going? What is your direction in life? Where are you headed? You know, you get old and you get retired. Well, what are you going to do now? It doesn't stop even when you get old. You know, maybe you get up there around your 90s. Maybe they'll stop asking.
Can't hear them.
You're right. You're right. Either that or they pretend not to hear, you know. But it's frustrating. You know, when everybody's asking you, where are you going, and you can't answer it. You know, my life has been frustrating like that because I'm never quite sure where God's taking me. You know, where are you going? I don't know. I went to Bible school. What are you going to do with that? I don't know. So I got into Bible school, and then when I finished Bible school, I went into the ministry. No, I started running a business. God, what am I doing here? How do you decide where to go in life? How do you decide what is the direction? How do you decide this is where I'm going? How do we know? You know, it's... It's a constant question. I mean, I hear it a lot from different people at different times. And it all boils down to, I just want to know where God wants me to go. I just want to know, what does God expect of me? Where am I going? As Christians, it's our desire to follow that path that God has for our lives. You know, in the world, you can just decide whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. You can do what you want. You know, whatever your desire is, whatever, you know, just Find your passion and follow it. That's what the world tells us to do. You know, whatever it is, whatever it is that moves you the most, just go and do it. Just weird, because it used to be, you know, get a good job. You know, pick something that you're good at and you can make money. But you know, that's totally changed now. But as Christians, it's our desire to follow God's path. Matthew 7, verse 14, 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And Jesus says this, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it." I mean, that's real encouraging. Thank you. Thank you very much. I couldn't tell you how many times I've been convicted by this scripture. And I, you know, you take a look at your life, I'm like, you know, it's easy to enter a broad gate. You know, you got a broad gate. Big gate. Where you got a tiny door. Where you got to turn sideways to get through. You know? He says, large and easy is the way that leads to destruction. You know, you can pick whatever path you want. You can go in any direction you want. But that's a large path. But if you want the path of life, then you have to confine it to the narrow way. We can choose, and it's like, you can be talking about salvation, you can refer this to salvation, which is true, but you can also apply it to just general living. You can choose any path that you want, and many of them are going to lead to destruction. You can choose this way, you can choose that way, and all it'll bring is destruction. Well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. But if we want the right path, we want the path that's going to lead to life, then we need the narrow path, the difficult way, which means we're confining ourselves. And then the question is, how do we keep to that right path, right? That's the natural question. Okay, how do we find and stay on the right path? John 14 through 16, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. And how do we know that? Because he said so. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then you're in the wrong place. And if you don't understand it, just stick around, you know. I'll get you there. But how do we keep that? We follow Jesus. What does that mean? That means that we choose to listen to what he has to say and follow what his directions are rather than our own. Because we have many, many, many ideas, many, many thoughts. But what is Jesus saying? Broad is the gate, or narrow. The narrow way is what is Jesus saying. Well, how do you know? You got to know Jesus. We got to know Jesus. We got to know what he's saying and what he's wanting us to do. We need to know what the scriptures tell us about how to live life, how to interact with one another. You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. Some people say where there's no vision. But revelation, revelation meaning no divine understanding. Revelation is divine understanding. Where we have no divine understanding, we perish. And we need to have a divine understanding in order to walk the path that God has for us. If we want to enter into the promised land, if we want to enter into the blessing, if we want to enter into the fullness that God has for us, to follow that path, to see the fulfillment of what he has promised, then we need divine understanding. We need to have that thing that God reveals to us so that we can see the way. You know, that when you're traveling in life, when you're in an area that you don't know, and you don't know the landmarks, you don't know the way, you're not familiar with where you're at, you got to have a guide. You've got to have something to guide you. If you're in the middle of a forest or a wilderness, and you need to figure out where to go from there, and I mean, this is how most of us are in life, is we're in this massive wilderness, and we're like, where do I go from here? Where do I go from here? It's more apt when we're younger than when we're older. When we're older, you know, we've scouted out the area. We kind of know what's around us. And so we're familiar with certain things. But when you're young, you don't know any. You don't know. Like, I don't know how any of this works. It's a huge wilderness. How do we navigate this? Well, we've got to have something. And when I was in the military, they would teach us how to traverse in these environments, how to not get lost. You know, if you're traveling somewhere, let's say that you get someplace and you don't know where you're going, you've got to go somewhere. You can't just go for a walk because you will go in a circle. You will always go in a circle. I don't know why that is, but we have a tendency. We will always slightly go to one way, and then we will come back around in a circle. So they teach you got to focus on something in the distance. You pick a tree, you pick a mountain, you pick a landmark, you pick something, and you walk that direction until you get there, and then you pick something further on. And that's how you can keep in a straight line. You've got to fix your eyes on something in the distance and say, this is the way that I'm going. Another way is if you have a compass. If you have something to guide you, a compass, then you set your compass. You know, that compass has got a magnetized thing in there, and that is pulled towards the source. It's pulled towards the magnetic north. And it's constantly being pulled in that direction. And you can set your compass. I say, okay, this is the way I'm going to go. And you can trust that you're heading in the right direction because that compass is set to the source. And you say, okay, this is the way that I'm going. Another thing is a map. If you've got somebody who's laid it out for you and drawn it out and said, okay, this is the area that you're in, and you could take the map. And then you set the map down and you start looking. You start looking around at landmarks and you say, okay, there's this creek over here. I see that on the map, and there should be two hills over here. Wait, there's no two hills over there. I'm not there. Where do I have another? And you keep studying and you keep looking, and then finally you find that you think you're looking north, but really you're looking east. And you're totally going in the wrong direction. And you say, oh, I need to adjust. Based on what I'm seeing here, I need to start heading that direction because that's what the map's telling me. You can use the sun. Comes up in the east and sets in the west, traverses the sky. And if you know the arc of it and you know what time of day it is, you can know which direction you're heading. You can traverse by the stars. Those things that are fixed in the heavens. and you know their course, you know their path, and you can take a look at it if you know what you're looking at, and you can say, this is the right way to go. There are many ways that we can set our course in life. There's many things that can help us. It's not just a one thing. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus is like the compass set on the source. And if we follow him, we will always get there. Because he never wavers. He never moves. He is set to the Father. And he says, if you follow me, you'll get there. We are all called to that same destination. That same destination is the Father. Through Jesus, we get to the Father. And so we follow Jesus on this path of life. You know, but like I said, there's many ways that God guides us in life. So there's Jesus. Jesus is always true. He's always true to north. You will always find him in the right direction. There's other things as well. There's ministers that God has given us to help us go in the right direction. And they're like a guide that have been there before, saying, no, this is the way that we need to go. This is the way that we need to take. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 for a second. And this is the one that talks about the ministers. Ephesians 4, I think it's verse 12 that we start in. No, I'll back up a little bit. Verse 11. And he himself gave some, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's their job, to equip you. You're the saints. You're the saints. You are saints. Sanctified by God. Called according to his purpose. Blessed by his name. You. He gave gifts unto men to equip you for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till it comes to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. That's their job, is to guide the people of God on the path that God has laid out for them, to bring them in unity of faith and the knowledge of God to a perfect man, the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children and tossed about by every wind of doctrine and trickery of men, but speaking truth in love may grow up into all things. Who is the head, Christ? To speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into all things, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knitted together by every joint supplying according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You ever been in a church where there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of love? Well, ministers are called to grow the church up so that it is healthy and whole, and that it causes growth within the body, that it may edify itself in love. If the body is not being edified in love, then there's a growth problem. And if there's a growth problem, there's a couple of major things that can be the problem. One is the minister isn't ministering the will of God, or the people aren't listening. I mean, this is an oversimplification, I'll just be honest with you. But that's really what it boils down to. The minister is called to minister to the body of Christ, to grow it up. So if it's not ministering correctly, then the body can't grow. And if the minister is ministering correctly, but the body's not listening, then it won't grow. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto all things who is the head, Christ. You know, it's like I got some plants growing in my house. You know, it's amazing. They always grow towards the light. They're always growing towards that source that nourishes them and causes them to be healthy. You know, if you don't have the right amount of light, you know, they're pretty anemic looking. You know, they get white and spindly and they kind of like grow in weird directions. They can't hold anything up. They don't grow up. They kind of grow sideways because they're not growing up onto the light. If we don't grow to Jesus, then we really get weird. We get anemic and we get spindly and we can't help anyone and we've got no fruit. We're never going to make it. From whom the whole body, joined and knitted together, for what every joint supplies. The head is Christ, and we need to be joined to him. If we're not joined to him, we got a problem. We can't get to where God wants us to be if we're not joined with him, if we're not connected with him. We're never going to get there. Because the objective is to be like Jesus and to enter into the presence of the Father and be able to say, Father, I've done everything that you've given me to do. But God gives us ministers. You know, they're like people who've been there before. They're experts. They're guides in the field that God has given them. And we need to listen to them. And it's not just one, but there's five. There's five different ministers. That means we need all of them ministering to us so that we grow up healthy. It's funny how people gravitate towards one type of ministry or another. It's just like people like to gravitate towards one type of food or another. Yeah. And in order to have a healthy diet, we need to have all of it, even those things we don't necessarily like to eat. And I've noticed, not so much here, but in other churches, I've noticed that when specific type of ministers come, there are certain individuals that all of a sudden, oh, I've got something else on this Sunday. I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going to go see this. I'm going to go see that. My job as your pastor is to see that you grow up. And I bring in people that I feel like God's calling to, that needs to come and minister to you. There are times when you can't be here. I'm not saying that. But don't come and not listen to somebody just because you don't like them. You don't like the way they minister. Because there's a reason that I'm having them come. And honestly, sometimes it's for them. I have some of the younger ministers come and minister. And they need to develop their gift, and they need people, they need to have people to minister to. You know, I've ministered to ministers who have been ministering for more years than I've been alive. You have any idea how intimidating that is? And I pray about it because I'm like, God, why are you having me minister? They've got all these ministers who have been doing it for decades. Why me? Because my gift needed to be used. And I realized that when I minister, it's not about my age. It's not about my experience. It's not about my wisdom. Because when I speak under the anointing and what God has given me, I'm speaking the wisdom of the ages. You may have a minister come here who maybe you don't particularly like, but you can receive wisdom of ages through him by the gift of God on them. And it's not them that you're wanting to have minister. It's Jesus through them that you want to have minister to you so that you can grow unto the head, Christ, that you can grow up into him and become mature. And this is like, no child ever becomes an adult without suffering. Because as children, we want what we want. I mean, who am I kidding? I still want what I want. And we have to learn to discipline ourselves and say, no, you can't have that. I want that. No, you can't have that. Reminds me years ago, ministering along these lines, I talked about pie. I like pie. Luckily, my wife doesn't like to make pie, so it works out. But you're like, I want that pie. And not only do I want that pie with whipped cream on it. And with ice cream, yeah. You know, it's just like, we want what we want, and then we want more of that. And we have to tell ourselves, no, that's not what God's wanting us to have. That's not the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a counterfeit. Especially if you're struggling with diabetes. Come on. You know, you ever eaten something and then you regret it? Or you know there's something that you shouldn't eat and you eat it and then you regret it? But, oh, it's so good. And then you have to deal with, you know, like a day of suffering. Yeah. And if we just said no, we would have felt better. You know, we would have done, you know, we would have felt so much better, and we would have been in such a better attitude and better frame of mind instead of dealing with all of that junk. It's the same thing with life. It's like, it's not just food. It's the things in life. Oh, if I would have just gotten my frustration under control and not lashed out in anger and said that. You know, if I could have just calmed myself down for a minute and thought about it clearly, I wouldn't have done that. And then this wouldn't have happened. And then I wouldn't have done that. And then that wouldn't have happened. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path. And we have the word. We have the map. The scriptures is a map. It shows us the way. You know, we can study the map and we can begin to look at the landmarks and say, okay, I'm going in the wrong direction here. You know, I'm filled with anger and frustration and desire. And the word tells us that these are the things, the works of the flesh. Okay, we're heading in the wrong direction. We need to turn from the path that we're headed because it's not the right one. We can tell because we're looking at the map. We're looking at the landmarks around us. And we're saying, nope, this isn't the right way. See, that's the path to the kingdom of heaven. That's the direction I need to go. And in that direction, when I head that direction, then I begin to see peace. Oh, there's peace. There's joy. There's patience. There's loving kindness. There's gentleness. Yes, 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 I'm moving in the right direction. This is the right direction. We need to walk down this path of life that God's given us. I got a quote in here from a novel that I've been reading. And one of the characters in this novel is, he's had a bad young life. He's done a lot of bad things and he's trying to change his life. And he comes to a point and he's constantly asking himself, and what's the most important step? And there's a moment where he says, the most important step is the next one. I thought, oh, that's brilliant. The most important step that you can take is the next one. You can't change any of the steps you've already taken. You can only change the next one. And it's always the next one. The most important step that you're going to take is the next one. Proverbs 14:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall seven times, yet he rises." You know, we have this path that God wants us to follow. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to follow His way, His path, His righteousness, His goodness, so that we can get to where it is that He has intended for us. And it's this narrow path that we need to follow. And there's always these distractions. Now, I had this thought earlier. You know, when we're traveling down a path, there's always these other paths that go off. You know, and how many of those paths do we come across? We've been that way before. We're like, ooh, I know this path. And we start down that path. We're like, yeah. Sometimes we don't quite get it, that it's a loop and it's going to take us back to where we were before. And then we're just going to start the path. And then we can end up in this cycle, going back around. And we're supposed to be going this way, and we just keep going in this circle over and over and over again because we keep making the same decision in life. And you go around and around and around and around, and God wants us to go forward. God wants us to go forward. He wants us to take that next step, to make that next decision. We know that the path that God has for us is good. We don't always know. We know our destination. Our destination is heaven. Our destination is to be with God. This is just, we're just walking things out as we go here in this life. And as we're moving forward, whatever mistakes we make, whatever errors in our destination, whatever willful disobedient we've done, you can't change it. You've already done it. But the grace of God is there to see us move past that. And we need to, at all costs, continue to move forward in Christ. And if we're continually stuck in these cycles of going through the same thing over and over and over again, you know what? We need help breaking out of that sometimes. And at that moment when you're like, yeah, I can go that way. I want to go that way. I like what's down there. But it doesn't take me to a good place. I'm familiar with it. Some people return to abuse because it's what they know and they're familiar with what they know. They're comfortable with what they know. And so they return to it because they're afraid of the unknown. And sometimes we're afraid of the unknown because we don't know what's going to happen next. But Jesus does, and He's there with us. And we get to that point where we have to make a decision. Am I going to go this way, or am I going to go this way? I don't know what's down here. We need to make the courage. We need to take the courage and make the next step forward in the direction that God's wanting us to go, even though it's scary, even though, you know, maybe we don't know exactly where it's going to end up. Do we trust Him? Do we trust that He's got us set on the right course? Do we trust that He's taking us to the promised land? If we don't, then we'll be like the Israelites, and they didn't enter in because of their unbelief. If we don't choose, if we don't believe that God's taking us to a better place, then we don't have trust in Him. We don't have faith. We need to keep moving forward. And if we've made mistakes and errors in our lives, it's okay. That's what grace is for. That's what the loving kindness is for. God hasn't left us alone. His Spirit is in us to lead us and guide us. The Holy Spirit's here to lead you and guide you. And He's given you ministers to minister to you and help you. And the body, each one of you, each individual one, is here to help one another. Because it says that you grow up and you edify the body in love. The body edifies itself in love. That means you're edifying, you're stirring one another, you're encouraging one another to walk out the path of life. That's our job as a body, to encourage one another on the path that God has chosen for our lives. You may have gotten on the wrong path in your life at some point, and you feel stuck. Like you're not sure how to get off that, how to get out of that rut, to get off that path. Israel did that number a lot. They'd go around in the same circle. And the great thing about it was, if you read in the Old Testament, you read the prophets, God would speak judgment because they walked away. But He'd say, if you would turn to Me, I will forgive you and I will restore you. That's under the old covenant. How much greater is the new? How much greater? And the fact that Jesus has paid for all of our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Wherever you've gotten yourself in life, God wants you to be free. He wants you to continue back down the right path so that you can continue to move forward for what He has for your life. And I feel like I need to pray for those of you that have gotten off track and feel like I need to get back on track. Because that's part of my job as a minister, is to believe with you that you're moving in the right direction. If you feel like that you are one of those that's kind of gotten off track, and you feel like you're someplace that God didn't intend for you to be, and you want to get back on track, I would like to pray for you. And so, how are we going to do this? Hillary, pull up the last song, My Testimony. And we're gonna play that, and I'm gonna minister to those who want to have me pray for them. And I believe that God has asked me to do this, to pray for you, and that when I pray for you, it will break that which is holding you in the wrong position and will get you back on the right path. That's what I believe God is saying is going to happen. So if you would like prayer, I would like you to come up front. I'll lay hands on you and pray for you. The rest of you, if you're going to remain in here, stay in an attitude of prayer and pray for the people who are wanting ministry. The rest of you, you are welcome to be dismissed. So, thank you guys for coming. You are blessed. God loves you. Those of you that need prayer, please come up.